Upon seeing them, Krishna smiled and was very gracious. He said, Svagatam vo mahabhaga asyatam karvamikam. He said, welcome, Svagatam vo, welcome, welcome, mahabhaga, oh greatly fortunate ones, asyatam, please sit down, karvamikam. Can I do something for you? Krishna, the amazing diplomat, he addressed them as Mahabhaga because they were greatly fortunate. They had already developed attachment in the core of their heart by their hearing for a long time Krishna's glories. So that is a glory of the Dvija Brahmanis. They had given up everything and being requested by Sri Dhamma. They brought so many preparations, four kinds of foodstuffs, to please Krishna and Balarama. There. And then they said, we would like to stay here. We've given up our family members and they'll no longer take us. So we would like to stay here and be with you in the forest. Then they saw that Krishna and Balarama were not so comfortable with that idea. Then they said, well then, if you will not let us stay in the forest, then we would like to become Vandevis. We'll become predominating goddesses of the forest. And we will simply accept the garlands that your consorts, they take off your neck. The Tulsi garlands, they take off your neck. And then your consorts, the gopis, kick them away with their feet. Reject them while they're doing amorous sports with you. We'll accept those garlands on our neck and maintain our lives with that prasadam in this forest. Then, but Krishna mentioned that no, it is not proper because we are from a cowherd caste, we are Vaishyas, and you are Brahmanis, and the public will not be pleased with this. Therefore, it is not proper. You should return to your relatives, your husbands and relatives. He said, the same verse that he mentioned to the gopis when they came to see him on the bank of the Jamuna in the middle of the night, he said, Shravanam Akirtanam Shravanam Akirtanam Dhyanad Mai Bhavo Anukirtanad Natata Pratikarashena Pratiyatha Tato Griham. Said, it is by hearing, chanting our glories and hearing, following in our mood, Mai Bhava Anukirtana. Anukirtana means to chant following the footsteps of the previous acharyas, not whimsically. Natatha Pratikarshena, and not, this is how you achieve us after departure of the body, and not by physical proximity. Therefore, go back to your homes. Pratiyatha Tato Griham. They protested. No, the same verse, it's actually the same line that the gopis also, no, we've given up our husbands, everything we've given up, and we come to you, please give us shelter. The difference is that the Dvija Brahmanis, they believe Krishna when Krishna told them, no, don't worry, you are so fortunate, you are so advanced, surely your husbands, your relatives, they will all accept you back. So you may return to them. Do not fear. They will take our word. They will definitely accept you. You may return to them. So with great pain in their hearts, they resigned themselves and they returned home. And because the boys, they had said previously, when they were coming in this area, they said, Rama Rama Mahabaho Krishna Tushtani Barhanam Eta Deepadyate Krunas Takshantam Kartamarvata. Rama Rama, oh greatly powerful, greatly armed Rama, oh Krishna Tushtani Barhanam, oh Krishna, you're so expert in removing disturbing demons. Today we have been disturbed by the demon of hunger, and for his pacification you should do something. That was their original statement. So upon the Dvija Brahmanis leaving reluctantly and going back to their home, Krishna took those wonderful preparations brought by them, four different kinds of foodstuffs, sat down his friends and fed them with his own hands, thus fulfilling their desires. Jai Krishna Balaram ki jai, Sakavrinda ki jai, Dvija Brahmani Mahabhagya Dvija Brahmani ki jai. So, the
Om Agyan Timurandasya Ginangina Shalakara Chaksuni Militam Janatas Maya Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadantisva Badantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama. Before beginning, I'd like to say how happy I am, what a great pleasure it is to be in the very close association of some of my dearest and closest God brothers, and also it's, and God sisters. Well, there's devotees from all over the world here this afternoon. But the biggest contingent, I believe, is from the very famous temple in Chaupati. And I have very nice remembrances of my visit there last year and the wonderful programs that we had and the nice katha and the nice kirtan. Generally, when a sannyasi goes someplace, he's traditionally supposed to enliven the people that he visits, but the opposite was true when I came to Chaupati. I came away totally enlivened and purified and enthusiastic to preach and to follow the wonderful example of Radhanath Swami. And I carry that inspiration with me throughout the year. I just wanted you to know that. Actually, I think it's almost been 2 years since I was there, but some places, some experiences, some service that we do in Krishna consciousness that's very potent, and the place we visit and the people that we associate with, that impression's there in our heart, and I carry that with me everywhere I go, and I'm always hankering for the association of Maharaj and the wonderful devotees of Chaupati temple. And it was Radhanath Swami this morning who came to our room. We all had plans. Govinda Maharaj and myself and our group of devotees who are doing Purikrama, mainly from Kazakhstan. Govinda Maharaj has brought about 25 or 30 devotees from Kazakhstan, some of them here for the first time. We had planned to do a Vrindavan Purikrama. I don't know what Madhava Maharaj's plans were. I don't know what Purnachandra's plans were, others, but Radhanath Swami is such a powerful devotee that he came and made a request, and we canceled all our plans and just started to come with him. So we thank him very much for this wonderful opportunity. So at this particular moment, we are very blessed. We are at Akura Ghat. And those of you who've had the opportunity to visit the altar, you'll see on the altar, Akura in the middle. He's the deity in the middle, and on either side of him are Krishna and Balaram. So this is the place that, after going to Vrindavan with the task of bringing Krishna and Balaram back to Mathura with the evil plan of Kamsa, he wanted to kill Krishna and Balaram, so he sent Akura to Vrindavan to get Krishna and Balaram and bring them back. And he had a plan that they would wrestle with two big wrestlers called Chanura and Mushtika. And they would fight and these young boys would be killed. So Akura had this task of going from Mathura to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram and bring them to Mathura. So on the way back, he stopped here at this particular place because previously, 5,000 years ago, the Kalindi River, the River Jamuna, it flowed right next to this. This was a ghat, actually, and the river flowed right past here. So Makura stopped, and under the shade of a tree, I don't know if it was this exact tree, but he stopped under the shade of the tree, his chariot, and Krishna and Balaram, they went down to the god and they took their bath, and Akura waited patiently, and Krishna and Balaram came back, and then Akura, he went down to take his bath in the river Jamuna, the same god. And when he got there, he was very surprised. There was Krishna and Balaram bathing in the river. And he thought, well, I just left them on the chariot, and here they are in the river. So a little confused, he came back up the bank, and he came here under this tree and chariot, and there was Krishna and Balaram. What's going on here? So he went back down to the river, and when he arrived back down at the ghat, he saw them again. But this time he saw them surrounded by 33 crores of demigods and gandharvas and angels and all auspicious personalities glorifying Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna had taken the form of Mahavishnu and Balaram had taken the form of Sheshanag. And Krishna, as Mahavishnu, was lying on Balaram Sheshanag like this, and they were being glorified, worshipped in this way. So Akura came back up again to the chariot, and he was dumbfounded. He could hardly speak, and Krishna and Balaram are sitting on the chariot. Krishna says to Akura, have you seen something wonderful?
I know.
And Akura says, my dear Lord, you are you yourself are the universal form. You contain all wonderful things. So what wonderful things haven't I seen, having seen you, having had your association? Like this. And our acharyas give further comment on this pastime that this is actually the division between Mathura and Vrindavan, where we are right now, this particular point. There's, as Srila Jiva Goswami has explained, the concept of perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Dwarka is perfect. Krishna has his transcendental pastimes there. But because of the mood of devotion, the deeper mood of devotion, Mathura is even more perfect. But Vrindavan, where the residents of Vrindavan live, especially the Braja Gopis, their love for Krishna is the most pure, the most sweet. So it is most perfect. So perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. So that, you could say that transcendental boundary line between Vrindavan and Mathura, that is Akura Ghat. And our acharyas explained that actually Krishna, he never leaves Vrindavan because he's captured by the love of his devotees. The gopis especially, they keep Krishna forever within their hearts. So there's no way that Krishna, who's controlled by the love of his devotees, could ever leave Vrindavan. So therefore we see that Krishna and Balaram are staying in the chariot, not leaving Vrindavan actually. They're going down to take their bath. They stay there. And what Akura saw was Anantashesh, and he saw Mahavishnu. He saw the Lord's expansions. When the Lord is outside of Vrindavan, he's Vasudeva. So actually he was taking the boys, Krishna and Balaram, to Mathura. But by going into the river Jamuna at that particular point, the idea was they never actually left Vrindavan. And who he took to Mathura was Vasudeva. So this is the esoteric explanation of Krishna's going to Mathura. He never actually made it. He stopped right here. Never actually crossed beyond this transcendental boundary of Vrindavan and Mathura. Actually, Akura had this thankless task of coming to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram. He was ordered by Kamsa to do this. And he was thinking that, well, he was quite excited actually with the opportunity to see his beloved lords, Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna book describes that all the way from Mathura to Vrindavan, he was meditating on his meeting with them. And this is very nicely described in the in the 30th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, his arrival in Vrindavan, all the way he was thinking what he'll do when he meets Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. He's meditating. How he will come and how he will fall at their lotus feet, and the humble prayers that he will say, and how he will gaze upon their transcendentally beautiful forms and the thoughts and the feelings that he will have when he comes. Actually, Kamsa, he sent Akura to Vrindavan in the month of Phalgun in February on the second Ekadasi. And Akura, he arrived on Dvadasi. Ekadasi is the 11th and Dvadasi is the 12th. So he arrived on the Dvadasi sometime in the evening. And at that time in Vrindavan, Krishna and Balaram were herding their cows. So he arrived just in the evening when Krishna and Balaram were bringing the cows back to the Goshala, which the Acharyas describe as Terakadamba. Between Nandagram and Yavat, there's Terakadamba. This was the area of the Goshala of Nanda Maharaj. So the cows were being taken to that particular place. And Akura, he arrived in the evening, and he was overwhelmed with ecstatic love, so much so that tears were flowing from his eyes when he had darshan. Finally, he had... The whole way he was meditating when he was going to see Krishna. Finally, he saw them and he broke down. Tears were flowing from his eyes like torrents of rain. And he was speechless. He could not speak. And when Krishna and Balaram saw him, they came forward and they began to worship Akura. Because Akura is he's older than Krishna and Balaram, and he has a special relationship with them. His rasa is one of servant, and vatsalya means he has some parental relationship with them as well. It's one of those mixed rasas. He considers himself the eternal servant of the Lord, but he's elderly, so there's some vatsalya there as well, kind of mixed. So Krishna and Balaram, they're related to him like that, as a senior, as worshipable. So when he came, Akura came, they began to wash his lotus feet and offer him words of respect and words of praise. And although it was Dvadasi, and on Dvadasi in the evening, one is not, according to tradition, one is not supposed to take prasad in the evening on Dvadasi. But nevertheless, because Krishna and Balaram offered him prasadam, he took that prasadam. He relished that prasadam. And as he was humbly accepting this worship from the Lord, Krishna raised his transcendental hand, and on his hand he had the wheel of the chariot marked on his hand. And he showed this wheel to Akura with the idea that by showing him this powerful wheel, this chakra, this wheel, he was saying to Akura, "Don't worry, very soon I'm going to kill Kamsa. Very soon I'm going to kill Kamsa." We see often Krishna's in this, you see the murti is like this. This is called Abhay Mudra. When we do an auspicious sign with our hand, there's different, the pujaris know the different signs you make when you do the pujari work, the matsya and the so on. So that's mudra. And Abhay Mudra, Abhay means the fearless mudra. This is the fearless mudra. So he blessed him, and Akura could see the chariot with him. "Do not worry, very soon I will kill Kamsa." It's like Ashura Prabhupada. He received, rightfully, he received the proper name, Abhayacharan. Fearless, having taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Abhayacharan. Fearless, having taken shelter of the lotus feet. And Prabhupada demonstrated that fearlessness by leaving this wonderful land of Bharatvarsha, specifically by leaving the supreme shelter for devotees is Sri Vrindavan Dham. Krishna is most prominent here. He's most present here. He never leaves. He's controlled by the love of his devotees. So Krishna is definitely here. The Prabhupada left this shelter. It is stated, Raki Krishna Mari Ke, Mari Krishna Raki Ke. If Krishna wants to kill you, who can save you? If Krishna wants to save you, who can kill you? So therefore devotees, they come to Vrindavan, they feel so much shelter here, they feel completely protected by the Lord. Their devotion to Krishna is protected here by the Lord. So, Abhay Mudra, do not fear, I'm going to kill that Kamsa. So, then the Akura said, so, I have come to take you, please. Make all the necessary arrangements. Prepare yourselves now. We're going to go to Mathura, where you have been invited by the King Kamsa. There's going to be a great wrestling tournament. He wants you to wrestle with his wrestlers. So the news began to spread very quickly in Vrindavan. Very quickly. Oh, Krishna and Balaram, very soon, next morning, they're going to leave for Mathura. They're going to go. So, what did the residents of Vrindavan think? They were immediately in anxiety. What type of anxiety? Vipalamba bhav. The anxiety of separation. And their love for Krishna is so deep, it is so intense, that they cannot even think of being separated from Krishna even for a moment. That's how intense their love is. We have some idea, some very perverted understanding of that by our attachments to the things of this world. And if we have to lose a loved one, just the thought of losing someone who's very dear to you, oh, your heart starts pounding. What to speak if you actually lose him? But that's only a perverted reflection of the real thing, the real love for Krishna in the spiritual world. Therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami, he utilizes that attachment to the material world to give us a little bit of an understanding of what it's like to be attached to Krishna in the spiritual world. He says, as young boys are attracted to young girls, and young girls are attracted to young boys. Unfortunately, we all have some experience of this, and we realize how powerful that attraction is. Pum sha stadiya mituni bhavam tayo mito hridaya granti maho. We've all had some experience. In the same way, with the same intensity, but in a pure way, my Lord, in a transcendental way, without any personal motivation, in a mood of real love, let me be attracted to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So we can hardly imagine, but we get some slight understanding of what it must be like for those who have pure love for Krishna to have to be separated from him. This is called vipralamba, to be separated from the Lord. So when the news spread throughout Vrindavan that Krishna is leaving Vrindavan, oh Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. Mahaprabhu gives us an even clearer understanding. One moment separation from Krishna for the residents of Braj who love him more than any other devotees love him. That is compared to that 1 second is like 12 years or more. So intense. So the news spread. And this particular pastime of Akura coming to Braj, to Vrindavan, to take Krishna to Mathura, this particular pastime, Sacharyas have explained, this is contains the deepest sentiment of Vipralamba Bhava. Of all the pastimes of Vrindavan and the separation, this is the one which brings especially the gopis to the highest stage of Vipralamba Bhava. So it's the most intense pastime of Vipralamba Bhava. Very, very deep, very, very intense. Because Akura is going to take Krishna far away. The acharyas describe four different types of Vipralamba Bhava, four different types of separation. There's Purva, there's Man, there's Prema Vichitya, there's puravas, four types of separation from Krishna. Purva means it's like when Krishna's a little boy, he's young and the gopis are young, and the culture is that they can't associate because they're just little boys and young girls. But gopis, from the very beginning, they have an intense desire to associate with Krishna. But they can't. There's no opportunity for that. So Purva means they're hankering for that. Hankering for to associate. There's some separation. In that separation, they're hankering to associate with the Lord. And their Purva, that mood of Purva ended at the Govardhan Leela, the Govardhan, lifting of the Govardhan Hill. Because when Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill for the first time, everyone came in, as Prabhupada said, packed up tight. He used to say that about our movement. In our Ishkan movement, by serving Guru and Krishna, we're all packed up tight, just like today by Radhanath Swami's mercy. We're all packed up tight. Kazakhstanis, Americans, Indians, all together under one banner, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, hearing Harikatha and chanting the holy names of the Lord. So packed up tight. So that's the beauty of the Govardhan Leela, lifting the Govardhan Hill, that at Govardhan Hill, everybody came together. In Vrindavan, there's different moods of different rasas. So the different moods and rasas, they take place in different parts of Vrindavan. Cowherd boys are here, gopis are here, the parents are here, the little girls are here, the babushkas, as we say in Russian, the grandmas are over here, Purnamasi's there, everyone, Yavat, Nandagram, Sanket, they're all different places and different leelas are happening. But the Govardhan Leela meant everybody came together under one hill, Govardhan Hill. Such sweet leela. Everyone who has Govardhan is worshipped because he accommodates everyone's desire. Govardhana. He nourishes the cows, but he nourishes everyone's desire to serve Krishna. Such a sweet leela. Everyone comes under the umbrella of Krishna's protection, his mercy there and all associates. So that Purvarag, let's stop there at that particular point. So Purvarag is one type of separation. And Man, anger when Radha and Krishna, when Radharani becomes angry with Krishna, there's some separation. And Prema Vichitya, yesterday we were at Prem Sarovara, and Govinda Maharaj, he very sweetly and very nicely told us the story of how Radha and Krishna were sitting together in that grove, and the bumblebee came, and Madhu Mangal, he chased the bumblebee away, and he said to Radharani, "Oh, Madhusudan is gone now." Well, he meant bumblebee. But Radharani was thinking, "Oh, my Madhusudan, my Krishna has gone immediately." And that she experienced that Vipralamba Bhav, that of separation. Although she was right with Krishna, Krishna was sitting right next to her, she heard from Madhu Mangal, "Oh, Krishna's gone." "Oh," and then Krishna seeing her like that, he started to cry. And their tears came together and created the beautiful Prem Sarovara lake. We took our bath there in that liquid Prem, liquid love of God. So that's the Man separation. And Pravas separation means when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, the town of Vrindavan, and he goes to the forest to herd the cows. So the elder Nanda, Yashoda, elderly gopis, those residents, that part, when Krishna goes to the forest, this is the cowherd boys, they're feeling some very intense separation. And that's where we get that verse, that he goes away. Gopis are thinking, "Oh, even 1 second, that's going to be like 12 years or more." But there's another type of pravas, which is called dura pravas. Dura pravas means when Krishna goes far away. He doesn't just go to the forest and then come back in the evening. He's going to Mathura for a long time. At least gopis are thinking like that. This pastime actually takes place both in Golok and in Gokul. It takes place in both Golok Vrindavan, this spiritual world up there, far, far away, and Gokul Vrindavan. It takes place here. But little differences. The difference is that in Goloka, when Akura comes to take Krishna from Vrindavan, Krishna comes back after 72 hours. Comes back after 3 days. And that pastime is taking place over and over again. Krishna, again and again, the pastimes in the spiritual world are taking place, but due to the potency of yoga maya, when a pastime happens again, I remember when I first read Krishna book, wow, this is fantastic. But God's unlimited. Is this all he does? He must, and actually there's so many more pastimes, Prabhupada said one time. Every day Kamsa was sending a demon to Vrindavan. We hear the principal demons. But every day the demons were coming. More for the purpose of the cowherd boy's happiness than anything else. Because the cowherd boys were so proud when they saw Krishna kill a demon. Our Krishna, our hero, he's killed that demon. They'd go back home that night and tell their parents, Krishna killed another demon. So I was thinking when I first read Krishna book, this is very nice, but gosh, doesn't God do more than that? But even if he does only that, that's enough. Why? Because in Vrindavan, due to the potency of yoga maya, every time a pastime happens, it's as if it's happening for the first time. The residents are thinking, they don't know, they're covered like that. So-called covered. It's happening for the very first time. And we all know what the first time's like, even here in this perverted reflection. There's something special about the first time. The first time I went to Chaupati Temple. The first time you met this particular devotee. You remember the first time you came in the temple, the smells, the colors, the prasad. Something special. There's just a unique flavor, unique feature about the first time. So that flavor, that unique feature, that's prominent in Vrindavan. So every day is like the first time. The pastime may be repeated again, but the resident is thinking, this is the first time. There may be a little variety, especially we were discussing yesterday, the Don Kaley pastime, the pastime of exacting the tax. And I got a little mixed up yesterday. We were one particular place, and I told one pastime, and Govinda Maharaj said, well, that's okay, but you, actually, that Don Kaley, that happened on the other side of Varshana. So there's a little variety in the pastimes, but they're happening. So, in Golok Vrindavan, this pastime of Akura coming to Braj to take Krishna and Balaram back to Mathura, this is happening again and again. But in Gokul, it comes once, and gopis are just, they're experiencing this dur prava, this, that he's going to go away for a long time now. He's going to go away, so this, the deepest vipralamba bhav is experienced in this pastime of Krishna going away from Vrindavan. And as we know, the gopis, they tried to stop. Some of them were holding the reins of the horses. No! Some of them were hanging around the necks of the horses. Some of them were hanging on the chariot. They were trying their best. Some gopis were actually laying down in front of the wheels of the chariot. And it wasn't just they were trying to stop the chariot from going. They were thinking, if Krishna's going to leave, I don't want to live anymore. This is how deep their devotion is. They were ready to give up their lives if Krishna was going to leave even for a moment from Vrindavan. So, and they were thinking that, how will he come back? He's going to Mathura. In Mathura, the girls are so sophisticated. They're city girls. We're country girls. We're very unsophisticated. So as soon as our Krishna, who's very much controlled by the love of girls, when he gets to Mathura and sees those Mathurvasis, all nicely dressed in very nice saris, and they have their city ways and their palace ways, and then Krishna, oh, he won't come back to. They were thinking like this. They were going a little mad. Already going mad. And they began to think, why has Akura been given this name Akura? Akura means not cruel. The word Akura means not cruel. This is, he hasn't been given the right name. In Vedic culture, when you have a baby, then you cast the chart. You call the astrologer, just like Nanda Baba did. He called the astrologer, or Jagannath Mishra, he called the astrologer when Krishna was born, what is the nature of this baby? And the astrologer who came to the house of Jagannath Mishra, he saw little Nimai, whoa! I have cast his chart. He said, this boy has appeared in various colors and different yugas, and he had very many wonderful, amazing pastimes. I have to inform you that he's a very special boy. So when you cast the chart of your child, by this science of Jyotish astrology, you can see what the boy, the nature of that boy, Brahminical tendencies, Kshatriya tendencies, Vaishya tendencies, Shudra tendencies. They'll be strong and tough and big, Bhim, so give him the name Bhimshen Das. Or she'll be very shy and chaste and devoted to her husband. You call her Rukmini. Don't call her Kubja. That is not call her. You give the name according, because you can't see, the personality is not developed, the child. But through astrology we can see. So generally, if you have good Jyotish, you can give the proper name, and the child bears that name as they grow up, and the name is appropriate. It's a wonderful, exacting science. And gopis are thinking, who gave him the name Makura? Who a fool? What Jyotish says, come and give him the name Makura. Not cruel. He's the cruelest of the cruel, because he's taking our beloved Krishna Shamsundar. Wait, what to speak of Srimati Radharani? Her feelings of Vipralamba Bhav, even that is so elevated, we will not even attempt to speak on that, how she was feeling. And we may wonder how it is that Nanda and Yashoda, they even agreed to let Krishna go. But Akura is very expert. He went to Nanda Baba. He said, you know, we have this problem in Mathura. There's Vasudev and Devaki, and they're shackled in chains, and there's this problem and that problem, and you know, that's only one person who can rectify this. This is Krishna. Somehow, Nanda Baba, he was convinced that Krishna had to go. So, in the 38th chapter, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, very touching description how Nanda Baba goes to Yasoda Maya. He's saying, you know, it's true. We have to let little Kanai go. She said, what? How are you going to let Kanai go to Mathura? He's just a little boy and this and that. No, you see, yeah, we have to. Somehow she was convinced, so she actually took Krishna from the house and put his hand into the hand of Akura. She entrusted Krishna to Akura with the idea that by entrusting him to Akura, Akura would bring him back. In Vedic culture, when you trust, this entrusting, trust, you trust someone. I'm entrusting this boy to you. I have confidence that by giving him to you, you will take care of him and he will be returned. Oh. What was Mother Yasoda Maya's feelings of separation when Akura didn't bring Krishna back? When Uddhava came to Vrindavan, sometime later, Krishna and Dwarka, he sent Uddhava back. That's a whole other leela, what Akura saw when he came into Nanda Yashoda's house, and Yashoda Maya was sitting there next to the same pot of... When Uddhava came from Dwarka and came into Braj, and he saw the feelings of the separation of the residents of Vrindavan, and came to the house of Yashoda Maya. And the milk had long boiled over on the stove. The cobwebs were there, and she was sitting in the chair. Krishna, 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 Krishna. So, gopis were thinking, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he has nice commentary in this 38th chapter. Gopis were thinking that we'd better speak to our elders and tell them, don't let Akura take Krishna to Mathura, because even if he only goes for half a day, we will die in separation. But then they're thinking, but they don't know that we love Krishna. Because the gopis, gopi, gupta means hidden. The gopis, gupta, they had to keep their love hidden, how much they loved Krishna. Gopis, gupta, gupta means hidden. They had to keep it hidden, right? Because the culture is very strict. They were young girls, Krishna was a young boy. They couldn't tell their mothers and fathers, oh, we love that little Kanai. We love that little Shyam Sundar. He's so cute. No. Don't you talk like that. It's not Vedic. No. Girls don't leave their houses to associate with boys. So it was all done by sidelong glances. Krishna is going to the forest and gopis are churning milk, and through their veil, little eyes there, and elders are busy and gopis, you know, like an arrow. And Krishna's looking at gopis. It was all done by sidelong glances like that. Even when the Govardhan Hill was like this, although they were packed up tight, the etiquette had to be followed. So Krishna's holding the hill like this and looking at the gopis, right? And the cowherd boys are thinking, oh, how can little Kanai hold this hill? We better hold our sticks up. So they're holding their sticks, and Balaram's laughing, thinking, cowherd men are thinking they Krishna needs their help. So Balaram's laughing, looking at Krishna. And Krishna's thinking he's laughing at me because he sees me looking at the breasts of the gopis. So Krishna turned bright red. So the glances were also going on. Krishna was glancing at gopis. This glancing, this is very much part of Braj Salil, the glance. So, but gopis, they couldn't show their gupta, their hidden love. They had to keep it inside. They had to keep it within. So what were they to do? All of a sudden, they're very calm and peaceful, and the chariot comes, and the horses are yoked up, and Krishna and Balaram are going in the chariot. And they're thinking, what are we going to do? We have to speak up. Let's speak up. Let's say something. No, no, because our elders will know that we love Krishna. Too bad for that. Better they lock us up in our houses and Kanai stays in Vrindavan. That would be better than his going to Mathura and never coming back. Better they, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, better they just lock us up. Because at least we'll be happy knowing that Krishna is still in Braj. And maybe we'll get some of his Mahaprasad. Something will come like this. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you don't read this, actually these details of this Lila, 38th chapter, you don't read that detail in Shukadeva Goswami's writings or in 10th Canto. But it's there in the purports by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Why? Because like the Goswamis, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he came to these holy places, when he came to Akhordat, when he came to Vamsivat, when he went to Tera Kadamba, when he, Goswamis, these liberated souls who come from the spiritual sky, it's not apricot lila. It's not unmanifest. It's manifest. They see it right before their eyes. It's all happening. So what we're getting when they're writing is what they're seeing. We're so fortunate. It's not described in the Vedic literatures. Some Shmarta Brahmas, Veda Rate Rate. Oh, this is not described in Vedic literature. It cannot be true. Boy. Prabhupada said that the writings of the liberated souls, he was speaking specifically about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. He said, better than the Vedas, because these are liberated souls. They're seeing these pastimes. So fortunate that we can. We don't see Vrindavan with our eyes. It is stated that a saintly person, he sees through his ears. And if we hear submissively with faith, Yasya Devi Pada Bhaktir Yata Devi Tata Guru, one who hears with faith, through disciplic succession, from his spiritual master, the full purport of Vedic literature is revealed. And what is the Siddhanta? What is the essence of all this Vedic literature? The glories of Radha and Krishna and Sri Vrindavan Dham. So we are so fortunate to have these commentaries of great personalities like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who can tell us how the gopis are saying, all right, they stand up and they say, we don't want Krishna to go, but you may get locked up. We don't care. As long as Krishna stays in Braj, we'll stay locked forever in our houses like this. So, as we know, Krishna and Arjuna, they left with Akura, and Akura had a hard time getting out of Braj. There were gopis here and gopis there, different groups, ganas, they're here and there. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it wasn't a straight line out of Raj. It was kind of, he had to go like this and make this go up and stop the horse, move the girls. And then he had to go here and then these residents and that residents. It was like a winding path. Finally, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he got out of that particular area and then straight line to Mathura. But then, some distance away, they stopped here at Akuragat, and Akura thought he was taking Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. But as we heard earlier, it was the Vasudeva expansion. Krishna is so much controlled by this wonderful deep mood of love for his Rajabhasis. He never leaves Vrindavan. Shri Vrindavan Dhamma ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Akuragat ki, Gaura Premanandi, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ki jai.
Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshura Militan Jaina Tasmahe Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrasti Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. After His Holiness Srila Indradumna Swami has spoken, I do not know what I am supposed to say. I mentioned yesterday when we were at Prem Sarovar that we have recently been reading the Brihad Bhagavatamritam by Srila Sanatana Goswami. And we are very fortunate that that book has been translated by Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, and edited by the team of the BBT editors and presented to the world for their enlightenment in Krishna consciousness. In that first volume, such a beautiful story is told. It's the story of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is looking for the devotee who has received the greatest mercy of the Lord. And his journey begins in Prayag, and his journey culminates in Dwaraka, and there he views a phenomenal Leela, and by viewing that Leela he has realization, who are the greatest devotees of the Lord? Those greatest devotees of the Lord are the residents of Sri Vrindavan Dham, and specifically the young ladies of Vrindavan who worship Krishna with their spontaneous love. Srila Sanatana Goswami, he says that the emblem or the factor that denotes the devotee who has attained the Lord's highest mercy is their feeling of vipralamba bhav, or separation from the Lord. And Srila Sanatana Goswami, he elaborately describes that feeling of separation when he explains the discussion that was conducted between Sri Krishna and his queen Satyabhama. The beautiful Nava Vrindavan Leela was conducted, and after Krishna returns to his palace and he has his bath and he is again dressed as the king of all kings in Dwarkadham, then Uddhava begins to narrate to Krishna the sequence of different activities that took place whilst he was performing this leela, and what different devotees said and what they did. And it was mentioned that even the queens of Dwarkadham, they were saying that we are Krishna's wives in name only, but his true beloved are those cowherd girls of Vrindavan. So when that glorification was being conducted by the queens of Dwarka and other elder ladies, Satyabhama, she did not appreciate that so much, and so she actually left. And when Krishna heard from the lips of Uddhava that Satyabhama had left, then he said, please call that proud and foolish daughter of King Satrajit. And then when she came, he addressed her as Satrajiti. King Satrajit, he had been involved in this scandal with the Shamantaka jewel. And by Krishna addressing her in that way, Krishna was politely giving her some insult. Sanatana Goswami, he mentions that it's not that Satyabhama left simply because she was a proud and angry woman, but she left because she was Krishna's beloved devotee. And she was, she simply always wanted to increase Krishna's feelings of love and Krishna's feelings of deep relationship with his devotees. So therefore, she knew that by her leaving, Krishna would give instruction about the nature of the love of the ladies of Vrindavan. So she came and she hid herself behind one of the columns in the palace. She was very shy. And Krishna began speaking to her. First he spoke to her in a little strong way, addressing her Satrajiti and calling her proud, so forth and so on. But then Krishna, his bhavana, or his mood, changed some. And to his dearly beloved Satyabhama, he opened his heart. And he said, Satyabhama, he said, it is impossible for me to return there. He said, I can't go back to Vrindavan. All of you have been saying that you promised. Uddhava, he went and he promised. He gave my promise that I would return. And when Nanda returned from Mathura, he took them jewels which I had given, and he promised them that I would return. And then Baldev, when he went to Vrindavan, the only way that he could pacify their hearts is that he promised them that I would return. And Baladev even said that my own brother, he even said that I was a deceiver. He even said that I was a cheater. because with my lips I said I would go, but with my body I never went. He said, so you all have one feeling. He said, but Satyabhama, please try to understand how great and how deep is the love of the residents of Vrindavan for myself. You are my beloved queen. We have been married according to all religious rituals. But Satyabhama, you should know that if even one of the residents of Vrindavan told me that I should renounce you immediately, I would do it without thinking. I would leave this place. I would leave you, and I would run to Vrindavan. He said, but I cannot do. It is impossible for me to go. Do you know why? Because if they were even to see me for a second, some would go mad. Some would become totally insane. They would forget their bodies. They would forget to feed themselves. They would forget to do everything necessary in requirement to their bodies. They would die. How can I go? Those residents of Vrindavan, they have become so weakened by my absence. It is just like a sick person in this world, any sick person in this world, for so long time, not eating, and all the nourishment and all the nutrients and all of the strength and the vitality of the person's body, it goes away. Satyabhama, do you think that if I just went there for a moment and if they saw me, they would again become joyful? If a man is fasting for so long time and I give him one thali of good prasad, is he going to become healthy and nourished from eating one thali of prasad? Not at all. He will have to eat for a long time. And if he eats for a long time, only then his strength will come back to his body. But Satyabhama, I can't stay there for a long time. They don't require a moment of my association. They require my association for a very long time. But unfortunately, there are still demons. And if I do not kill these demons, they may go to Vrindavan and they may harass my beloved devotees. I cannot go. Srila Sanatana Goswami, he describes the nature of the Vipralamba Bhav. He says that the ecstasy of the feeling of Vipralamba is something comparable to the agony that one feels from being burned very, very slowly in a fire. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he describes that in his Sikshastikam. He says, I feel as though I am being burnt alive. I'm being roasted on a very, very low flame. Not that I'm being tossed inside of a raging fire. It's just slow, slow agony and torture. And Krishna says, they're suffering so much. This ecstasy of separation. Satyabhama, my heart is so soft. If I went there and if I saw them in that condition, I would not be able to tolerate it. Therefore, I cannot go. So, that feeling of the intense love, the spontaneous love of the residents of Vrindavan, and Sri Krishna's reciprocal intense love for his beloved devotees of Vrindavan has been so beautifully revealed. He says, I can't go. But then Srila Sanatan Goswami, he gives a secret. And it is something that is, I cannot comprehend with my mind. It is something which is sounding very beautiful, but it, for me it is incomprehensible. He said Krishna's pastimes are prakat and aprakat. Krishna's pastimes, they are prakat, manifest, and they are aprakat, unmanifest. And in the prakat manifestation, Sri Krishna, he says, I cannot return. And in the prakat manifestation, his devotees are burning in the fire of separation from Krishna. But simultaneously, in Krishna's aprakat or unseen form, he returns to Vrindavan and he experiences ecstatic loving exchanges with his devotees. I think that the only way for us to realize that will be offenseless chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and selfless service to the feet of our spiritual masters and selfless service to the feet of Srila Prabhupada and the glorious mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the only way we will have realization of that point. So this feeling of separation, very, very deep spiritual emotions. And when Srila Gurudev was speaking, he was talking about when Akrura came to Vrindavan, and I read something by Srila Rupa Goswami. He said early the next day, he came in the evening, and early the next day the word had circulated throughout Vrindavan that Akrura had come to take Krishna away. And practically speaking, all you could hear in Vrindavan were the sounds of wailing, crying people. All you could hear were screams of agony. People were thinking, our Shamsundar will go, our Kanaya will go. And as Srila Gurudev explained, Akrura, he actually took Krishna and Balaram and he had them directly on his chariot. And that's when the young damsels of Vrindavan, they came and they said, to hell with what our parents think. We must stop this situation from happening. And they actually ran to the chariot and they climbed aboard the chariot. And they actually grabbed Krishna Chandra and they took Krishna Chandra to the forest and they said, what are you doing? Come to your senses. You can't go. We have sacrificed everything for you. We have sacrificed our dharma. We have sacrificed our name. We have sacrificed our reputation. We've sacrificed our fame. We've given up our fathers and mothers. We've given up our children. We've given up our husbands. We've given up everything only to please you. How can you go? And Krishna was stunned. But on the chariot, Akrura, he looked at Baldev and he said, He said, boy, you listen to me. At any moment, Kamsa can kill your mother and father. Do you wish to be responsible for the death of your mother and father? Do you want to carry that on your shoulders for the rest of your life? Therefore, go get your brother immediately. And Baldev, he jumped down from the chariot. He ran to the forest. And Krishna was surrounded by so many young ladies crying and weeping. And he just took his brother and he said, we must go immediately. Such a sad and pathetic scene. Srila Sanatana Goswami, he explains that at the beginning of the creation of this universe, or during the creation of this universe, when the element of fire was created, the quality of heat was placed within fire. And that quality of heat that can never be separated from fire. And he said, similarly, the essential quality of the residents of Sri Vrindavan Dham is their vipralamba bhav, or their deep and intense love for Krishna. And he said, that can never be extracted from their hearts. And therefore, Srila Sanatana Goswami says, therefore, those people who are feeling that separation, that deep separation from Krishna, he says, they are the ones who have received the greatest mercy of the Lord. Srila Radhanath Swami, he reminded myself and Srila Gurudev this morning that this Akrodagat is also significant because this was the camp of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Lord Chaitanya came to Vrindavan. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's explained that when Lord Chaitanya, as soon as he stepped his foot outside of Jagannath Puri onto the road to head to Vrindavan, his ecstasy increased 100 times. And when Lord Chaitanya placed his foot within Mathura Mandal, his ecstasy increased 1,000 times. And when Lord Chaitanya placed his foot within Vrindavan Dham, his ecstasy and love of God increased 1,000,000-fold. So, I was thinking when I was listening to His Holiness Madhava Maharaj and Srila Gurudev speak, why is it Lord Chaitanya made this place his camp? And Srila Gurudev said, this was the border. He said, this was like the intense boundary of that Vipralamba Bhav. And Srila Prabhupada would always quote Chaitanya Charitamrita describing the nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would say, Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but his purpose is tasting that ecstasy of love in Vipralamba of his greatest devotee, Sri Radha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he must have sat here and he must have relished those deep, deep feelings of separation that were experienced by the exalted Brajabasis when their Krishna left and went to Mathura. Okay. Hare Krishna.